Good evening. How are you this evening? It's good to see you. Glad that you're in the service this evening. Just want to remind you of a few announcements. Tomorrow night is our Trail Life meeting. And if you know boys 5 to 18 that would benefit from this, be sure and encourage them and their parent or guardian to bring them. We're really going to kick it off big time in August. We had a Trail Life meeting just a last weekend out at Jack and Sarah's house. Had 9 boys and 5 adults there, and it was a good evening. And so we're grateful for that. We're off to a good start. Remember Super Summer Something Wednesday night. Men's Ministry is in charge of the meal, and it's going to be hamburgers and hot dogs. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer that if you're planning to come, be sure and let us know. If you're joining us by Facebook tonight and you are planning to be here Wednesday night, be sure and call the church office to let us know that you are going to be in that meal. There will be a meeting of those who are involved who organize the MOPS group and those who lead it. There we go. There will be a meeting for our MOPS leaders Wednesday night after Super Summer Something. If you have items for the youth yard sale, be sure and contact Pastor Tyler or Keisha to let them know. Guardians Quartet's going to be here August the 5th, and there are still flyers out there in the foyer. We're looking forward to this. If you have not clicked on the link on Facebook to go to their page to listen to some of their songs, do that. You're going to be excited about them coming. They're very, very good, and it's going to be a great time on August the 5th at 6 o'clock. That is a Friday evening, and that is one of the reasons we announced last week about the yard sale. The 5th is right in the middle of the 127 yard sale. And so that was kind of why all of that the youth yard sale kind of got moved around. So, but anyway, we're looking to forward to the Guardians Quartet being with us. A lot more items in the newsletter, and so be sure and get that and read that. And occasionally there's an article in there from the pastor that might be worth reading. They laughed about that, Gail. They're a hard audience tonight. Come lead us in some songs, please.
You ready to worship this evening? Stand if you are able. Sing a couple of great hymns. He's everything to me.
In sin I once had wandered, a weary, sad, and lone, till Jesus through His mercy adopted me His own. Here since I thank you.
thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace that has been given to us. We're grateful, Lord, for the light that did shine into a very dark place, and we were in that dark place, and yet you loved us enough to show yourself in so many ways to us, and we love you and we thank you and we praise you tonight that we know you as our personal Savior. We're grateful, Lord, tonight that we can come to you with our needs and our burdens, and we're grateful for all the things that you do for those of our congregation who need your touch. Thank you, God, that you are able to touch them and help them. For those of our congregation who need your comfort and who need your encouragement, we ask you, God, that you would comfort and encourage and bless them in this evening. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here, and we ask you, God, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would speak to us and would help us. And then, Lord, at the end of the service, when we have a time of prayer, we ask you, God, that you would bless and that you would help and that you would heal. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish in our hearts and our lives and our church this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. And y'all just hope I preach that fast, don't you? probably not going to happen. I want to speak to you this evening from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to begin with verse 14. and read down through verse 16 here in just a moment. The Romans in Jesus' day had a saying that was very common to them. They said, "There is nothing more useful than sun and salt." Last week we talked about the fact that we are the salt of the earth. And so Jesus here is basically using two word pictures that those who were sitting there on that hillside that day would have had no problem understanding. They would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about. We understand the importance of salt. As I said last Sunday night, if you don't believe that salt is important, you try to eat some things without salt on them. Now, I'm not much of a watermelon connoisseur. Those of you who know me know that I don't care for watermelon. Susie loves watermelon, and for 40 years she has sacrificed watermelon because she loved me. But when she eats a watermelon, she puts salt on it. And I've heard a lot of people that do that. I don't even think salt would make watermelon taste good, but that's neither here nor there, you know. And somebody asked me one time how I could be a Southerner and not like watermelon, and I said, just watch me, you know. But anyway, salt is so important. Today at a restaurant, we got something, and I'm telling you, it needed some salt. And so I asked for the salt shaker and put it on there. But, you know, we understand the importance of salt. But I'm going to tell you, when you walk into a dark room barefooted, you will understand the importance of light once your little toe catches the edge of that bed. Some of you have been there and done that, haven't you? You know? It's so amazing. I was talking to the kids this morning and I said, I don't understand the process by which all this happens. I mean, I understand all of the flow of electricity and that kind of stuff. I do understand that you don't want to touch two wires together. My dad and I were underneath the house that we lived in on Logan Street in Piedmont, Alabama. And when we crawled under there, the house had been remodeled. And we crawled under there and sticking up out of the ground about this far, and Lee's back there going, oh my goodness, I can't believe they would do this. But sticking up out of the ground about this far was a wire that had two, it was sticking up about like that. And Daddy said to me, I'll never forget it, he said, do you think this is hot? And I said, well, Daddy, I don't know. I mean, I was a 16-year-old kid at that point in time. And I said, Daddy, I don't have any idea. He said, let's find out. And he had a screwdriver, and he stuck that screwdriver across those two wires. And I'm telling you, the underside of that house lit up like lightning had struck. And, you know, I don't understand all the process, but I do understand that there are some things that you don't do with electricity, and I do understand the importance of light. I understand the importance of light. And tonight, as Jesus compared you and me to salt, as we looked at it last week, when you look at this word picture that Jesus is giving us here, we're going to understand the importance of light, and we're going to hopefully understand the importance of us being at least reflections of the light in which we live, because we live in a very, very dark world. Look at what Jesus says here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me read that from the New Living Translation. Here it says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. As a kid growing up, I always loved to look at the stars. It has always fascinated me when I would be outside, and we lived when I was a kid, we lived in Lufkin, Texas, and where we lived at that point in time, there weren't that many street lights out on the road that we lived on, and you could go out and you could just see the stars. I'll never forget our youth pastor when we were in Ponca City. He had been raised in Atlanta and was going on a ski trip to Colorado with the kids there from the church. And he called me about 9:30 one night. They evidently had stopped on the side of the road. And Ronnie called me and he said, "Pastor, there are stars." And I want to say, "Yeah, Ronnie, I know that." But then I realized that growing up in Atlanta, he had grown up with all kinds of street lights and all kinds of other lights and had really never seen what he was seeing out there in Kansas with no street lights, no anything, just the stars, just those things that God had created. One of my friends when I was growing up in Piedmont, for Christmas one year, got a 9-inch reflector telescope. That thing had like a 4-foot, 5-foot tube on it, had a big 9-inch mirror in the bottom of it. And he called me and he said, "Come up here and let's look at the moon." And so I walked up the hill. He just lived right up the hill from where the parsonage was. And I walked up there and he had that thing and it was huge. I'm telling you, it was the most cumbersome thing you've ever seen. But he had that thing focused on the moon that night. And I saw things in that telescope that I had never dreamed about being able to see. And one year we were at Susie's mom's and stepdad's, and Bush had a telescope, and we took that telescope, and it wasn't anything like that 9-inch one, but we took the girls outside out there in the middle of Georgia, rural Georgia, very rural Georgia, and looked at the sun, and I mean looked at the moon and all the things that were going on. Megan she has her dream job. She has always loved the stars. She's always loved those things. And you begin to look at these things and think that as I talked to the kids this morning about the fact that God created all of this. Now, the moon, we understand fully, it has no light of its own. It's simply a reflection of the light that is shining on it. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never live in darkness, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But here in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says to us, he's saying to those people who were sitting on that hillside that day, he's saying to us, "You are the light of the world." Some people say, he contradicted himself. No, he didn't. He's making a true statement in both of those. He is simply saying that he is the ultimate light and we are those that reflect that light. We are those that reflect that light. And so this evening, I want us to look at what Jesus says here. And I hope that before we leave here tonight, and I want you to listen to the way this next sentence, that I worded this next sentence, okay? I hope that before we leave here tonight, we will see what our obligation, but also our opportunity. Don't you love those two words? That we'll see what our obligation is in this thing, but we'll also see what our opportunity is in being able to be light to the world. Much like what we talked about last Sunday night. You look at these, you're going to see three things. First of all, Jesus says that this is a very personal light. He says this is a very personal light. Look at verse 14 one more time. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." You go on down to verse 16 and he says there, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I found out a long time ago, and you can go through, and I think you'll prove this if you really go through and read the New Testament looking for it. I found out a long time ago that everything about the Christian life is personal. It really is. You find that Jesus taught in group settings. And on three occasions, as you look through the New Testament, you're going to find that Jesus performed group miracles. But most every time that you see Jesus teaching or really dealing with someone, and most of the time when you find Jesus performing miracles, it was always in a personal setting. He spoke in the group settings. There were thousands of people that would hear him. And it amazes me when I stop and think about the fact that there was no sound system. There was nothing like that. I wonder how our pastors of yesteryear ever kept a voice. Because they had to preach in such large auditoriums. And so here you find Jesus speaking to this large group. But when Jesus talks about being the light, he wasn't talking simply to a large group. Now, it applied to everybody. But Jesus is speaking, especially when you come to verse 16, when he says, "You are the light of the world." Verse 16 there, he says, "Let your light shine." It's a very personal thing. He gives us light so that we might reflect that light, so that that light might show forth for us. Now, I want you to understand, and the light that I might have is not going to be effective for you. The light that your parents and grandparents might have had will not be sufficient for you. If you're going to be effective in the world in which you live, then you're going to have to be able to reflect God's light personally. That's how it works. My mom and dad, Marcy knows my mom and dad, and many of you have met my mom, but Marcy got to hear my dad preach and when she lived at Savannah, and I'm going to tell you, daddy was my height, but he was never weighed as much as I weigh, and he was a fireball. Amen. Marcy's over there doing this for those of you who can't see on Facebook. And Daddy was a wonderful preacher. He was a wonderful organizer of sermons. Yeah, Daddy told me very early on. He said, "William, if you're going to do your sermons, this is how you have to do it." He said, "Always write out all your illustrations, because," he said, "you may write something down there that says light of the world and it means everything to you tonight, but when you get 10 years down the road and you come back and you look at that sermon, light of the world may not mean anything to you at that point in time." And so I type out all my sermons. I don't read them, as you can tell. Some of you wish I would, you know. But as good as my daddy was, as good as my mom and my grandparents were, what they had is not sufficient for me. It will not get me to heaven. The witness, and I can talk about what they did. I can tell you the things that happened in their life. But I've got to have something personal in this. And we talked a little bit about it this morning, about this relationship with Jesus. It's got to be a personal thing. And Jesus says here that the light that we have is not something that we're supposed to hide. The power goes out, and when the power goes out, I have never taken a flashlight, brought it into the room, or even a candle as far as that goes. I've never taken any kind of light, brought it into the dark room, and immediately after I turned it on, put a bucket over it. If you do that, you've got problems. Let's face it. And Jesus says here that this light that we have is supposed to be on display for everyone to see. Now, I'm not talking about being witless witnesses. You've heard me use that many, many times, that statement. I'm not talking about being obnoxious in our witness, but I am talking about that the light that we have that comes from Jesus, it should just be a natural outflow of the relationship that we have with Jesus. And he says this is not to be hidden. He speaks of it as a city that's on a hill. He said, you can't hide the lights of a city. Now, I love to fly. I hate taking off and landing. I know that's kind of like the watermelon thing, isn't it, you know? I love to fly, but I hate the taking off and landing. Those are the most critical parts of the whole flight. But one thing I do love to do, I like to fly at night. I love to fly at night because you can see things at night. Now, I enjoy flying during the daytime if it's not cloudy and you can see the ground and all that. But I love flying at night because you can see for miles and miles and miles and miles away a town that is lit up. You may not know which town that is, but you can see that. And every time I'm flying and I'm flying at night and I see a city, I always think of what Jesus said here. There would be no way that you could hide a city at night because of the streetlights that are there. I mean, even at 25, 30,000 feet, you're going to be able to see. There's no way that you can hide that light. And in our lives, there should be no way that we would want to hide the light. It should be a personal light that just shines. The radiance of the character of Christ should be the radiance that just simply shines from us. Not, as I said, in an obnoxious way, but in a way that makes people want to come to the light that we have. Not only is this a very personal light, but Jesus says, and we're going to use verse 15 to make this point. Really, he talks about a penetrating light. Verse 15, he said, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. I was talking to David. He used to be our youth pastor. I was talking to him just a few minutes ago, and he preached this morning. His sermon was nothing about this passage, but he was talking about and telling his congregation that they needed to be lights in the area and where they were. And he said something, and I hadn't thought about it, so since he told me, I'm going to tell you. How about that? He said, I told them that light is never passive. He said, darkness is passive. It's just there. But light is penetrating. Light goes into places, and light and darkness cannot exist in the same place. There's just no way that it can happen. I really found this out when in high school and then in college. And I was telling the kids this morning, we were talking about God creating the light. And I was telling them this morning about a dark room. And I noticed that they all just kind of looked at me. And suddenly I came to realize those kids have never really seen a real picture coming out of a camera. Have you thought about that? Everything is digital. If you talk about a picture, let me see it on the phone. I'm ashamed to tell you how many pictures I have on my phone. I've got pictures of everything on my phone. You know? But when I was in high school and college and we were doing the yearbook, that's actually how I did some of the dark room stuff that I did. You wanted to, when you were taking that film and you were transferring it into that canister so that you could develop those negatives, and then you know, you didn't want any kind of light in that room. You couldn't even use the red light that was in the room when you were transferring it from the cartridge into the canister. It would ruin it. We worked in the dark to get those things threaded onto those spindles, and then you'd put the cap on it, and then you'd pour all the chemicals in there, and you'd go through that whole process. And finally, when you got it in the canister, you could turn on the light. But when you started to try to print the pictures, you had to have the red light on because the red light wouldn't bother the paper, and you went through all the chemicals and all those kind of things. I'm telling you, folks, light in that sort of setting, it will ruin a roll of film instantly. It's penetrating. You know, you take great measures and that kind of thing to make sure that no light can get in. And as our technology now has advanced, we know just how penetrating light can be. We have lasers now that they take care of tumors that are inside the body, and they go through the flesh into that tumor and they destroy the tumor. I mean, we've got all kinds of, they tell us whether or not, you know, and of weapons that are laser, and they're laser guided and all those kind of things. And all that is penetrated, intensified light. The Bible tells us that God is light, and in Him and there is no darkness. What He intends to do in our lives is to penetrate our lives in such a way that the darkness of our lives is removed. It's taken away. God wants to destroy the darkness in people's lives. That's the reason Jesus came. And Jesus says here that you are the light of the world. When you and I walk into a room, there should be something that happens. People should see something different. I know people that when they walk in the room, it's like you turn the lights out. None of you are in that category. But you know what I'm talking about. Oh my goodness, they walk in and it's depressing. But then there are those people that when they walk into the room, I'm telling you, it's like the lights have come on. The party has started. You know? And I really think that God wants the light that we have to shine in such a way that when we walk into darkness, and I'm not talking about a dark room, I'm talking about the darkness of this world, that penetrating light of God that is in us does something about the area where we find ourselves. You see, please get this. If you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to get this. We have been placed in this world not to curse the darkness, but to cure the darkness. Did you get that? We have been placed in this world not to curse the darkness, but to cure the darkness, to penetrate the darkness, to do something about it. For you see, light is the light that Jesus is talking about here is very personal. The light that Jesus is talking about here is very penetrating, but the light that Jesus is talking about here is very proving. In the same way, he says, verse 16, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We are here to be the proof of what Jesus has said. We are here to show people that when Jesus said that He will change hearts and lives, that we are the evidence of that change. You've seen people, I've seen people that I'm telling you, before they got saved, you didn't want to be around them. In fact, some of them before they got saved, you were afraid to be around. But when they got saved, when Jesus came into their heart and life, all of a sudden everything changed. I was listening the other day to an old cathedral song. Today I went back to the place where I used to live. And the song's "Thanks to Calvary, We Don't Live There Anymore." You remember that song? You see, what they're talking about in that song is the proof. They're talking about that things happen, that things changed. In the world in which we live, everything is subject to questioning. You know? I mean, everything has to be proven and then proven again. And sometimes the church has failed, I think, and we've just said, well, here is what Jesus will do. And then the bad part is we have said, here is what Jesus will do, but we've not proved it. You and I have been called to be different from the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are to be different from the world. And so we are here to prove that Jesus is in the life-changing business. And so often, we look at people and we see things and we go, oh my goodness, it's like the guy that I told you about once before that was at the high school where Susie was taking that typing course, and every other word that came out of his mouth was profane, but yet he proclaimed to be a Christian. That is not proof. That is denying. We're here to prove it. Ben Franklin, he was credited with a lot of things, but one thing that Ben Franklin did that a lot of people don't know anything about, he is probably the father of modern streetlights in our country. In Philadelphia, they didn't have streetlights, and he really thought that they ought to have lights. And so every night he would go out, and rather than complaining about it, every night he would go out and he put a lamppost out beside of his house, and he would go out every night and he would light the light. And his neighbors began to see how nice it was to have night light, or light at night. And then they began to do likewise. And it wasn't long before on every street in Philadelphia, there were street lights. What did he do? He proved his point. He proved his point. And we are here as the light of the world to prove the point that Jesus is in the transforming business. We're here to prove what Jesus said. Conclusion. This light that you and I have, we reflect it. It is a personal light. It's a penetrating light. It is a proving light. I do enjoy living in a place that I can walk out and there aren't street lights and I can look up and see the stars. But when I hear that there was a bear down the street, I wish we had street lights. I don't like to walk out to the car. And that's one of those things. And so when I go outside, I'm going to tell you, I'm a chicken. Every light that is available to be turned on at our house when I go outside at night, it is turned on. You could land a helicopter there. You know, that's kind of the way it is. But oh, to think about a world that is filled with darkness. And I'm not talking about without these kind of lights. I'm talking about that you and I live in a world that is filled with darkness. And there are so many people who are looking. And there are so many people who are stumbling. And there are so many people who are groping to find their way through all of the muck and the mess and the mire of our world. The darkness of our world. And you and I have the light. You and I have the light. And we need to share that light. One of the best things that I ever saw was at an NYC, Nazarene Youth Congress. And they turned out all the lights in that auditorium there at the University of Maryland. And the guys on the stage, they'd given us a candle when we walked in. And they turned out all those lights. And finally, after just a few moments, someone lit one of those candles. Well, I want you to understand that we went from darkness to at least a little bit of light. And then they took that light and they began to share that light with everybody who was in that room. And finally, by the time it was all over, there were 5,000 Nazarene kids and sponsors in that room at the University of Maryland. And yeah, it was not bright, bright, bright. But it was not dark. It was not dark by any stretch of the imagination. And to see that light spread that night, it was something to behold. You know, it was kind of slow at first. And then it kind of sped up until that entire arena there was filled with the light of those candles. We live in a very dark world. Nobody has to tell you that. But you and I have something that can change our world. We have someone that can change our world. And I really do believe this. This is the last sentence of what I wrote on Monday as I was finishing up this message. People are starving for what we enjoy. People are starving for what we enjoy. Let's let our light shine for Jesus. Let's be the light in this very dark world. Are we the light in a very dark world? Are we the light in a very dark world? We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity that we've had to be here this evening. Thank you for the light of the world that has touched our hearts, that has taken away the darkness. And Lord, there are people who are looking and they are longing, they are starving
for light. Help us not to take the light that we have been given and put it under something so that nobody could see it. Help us, oh God, that we might let it shine naturally, winsomely, so that people will want and enjoy the light that we have. I pray, Father, that you would bless and that you would help, that you'd move on our hearts and lives. And we're grateful that the light of the world is Jesus, and that we do enjoy that light this evening. We give you praise, honor, and glory for who you are. Make us the light as we go through this week. May somebody see your light in us, and may they come to the light because of you in us. And we thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad that those of you joined us on Facebook. We're going to stay for just a moment here longer with the congregation here. But we're glad you joined us on Facebook. And be sure and leave a comment that let us know that you were with us this evening. And we're so glad that you joined us. Remember, Wednesday night, we'll be down in the Family Life Center at 6 o'clock. And hamburgers and hot dogs, and the men are in charge. So Lord bless you. We'll see you then.